Welcome to Golden Talk. Respect for me means when you get treated with kindness and you treat people how you want to be treated.
Being honest and being kind to others.
Respect to me, it means like you have to understand what other people think about the world, and you have to understand what they think about specific things that you may not even agree with, but you still have to respect it.
Respect means valuing other people's opinions and choices, even if it's different from yours, because you'd want to be treated that way as well.
So, welcome back to our Golden Talk series, and this group of podcasts is talking about our trust values. And today I am joined by Charlotte and Alice, who will introduce themselves in a moment. And we are going to be talking about respect, one of our core trust values. So thank you both of you for joining. And could you briefly introduce yourselves with your name, your role, and how long you've been working within Golden Thread?
Okay. Hi, I'm Alice Harrington. I work at Fleetdown Primary Academy. I'm the head teacher, and I've been at Fleetdown for 11 years, and we joined the Trust in 2021.
And I've got to say, it's really nice to see you, Alice, because at the moment you're on maternity leave, right? And how's that going?
Yeah, really good. That Lila's 5 months old now.
And are you coming back soon?
Well, soon, yes. End of September.
Excellent. Can't wait. Charlotte?
My name is Charlotte Casey, and I actually work for the central team. I am the school improvement partner for SEND, and I worked for the Pathways Trust before we joined and became the Golden Thread, and I've worked for us for 3 years now.
Excellent. And you were assistant head?
I was assistant head at Mepham Community Academy before I was in this role.
Doing SEND as well?
SEND as well, yes.
Excellent. So today we're talking about the value of respect. But before we get to that, I'm really interested to know what you think about what makes us special as an organisation, particularly in terms of how values-based we are.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important, the values we have as an organisation, because it determines how we interact with each other, our culture, how we communicate with each other. And essentially, I think we spend an awful lot of time together, sometimes more than our own families, don't we? And we're all thrown together. And it's really important that we're there for each other. We care for each other, we support each other, and essentially we treat each other kindly and nicely. And that's all about communication, how we are with each other.
And with respect.
And with respect.
What do you think about our organisation in terms of value being values-based, Charlotte?
I think it's really, really important. It's one of the things that not only attracted me to the Trust in the first place, but also keeps me working here. The fact that we all hold those values dear together. And I think just to carry on with what Alice says, you know, we spend an awful lot of time together, and we are like a family. And you really get that vision and vibe when you walk through all of the different schools. And being on the central team, I have the great pleasure of being able to go into all of our schools at different times. Mm. And to know that that is the same welcome, and that all of the people that are working there are going to share those values, is just really wonderful.
And our schools are really different, aren't they? So even if you think about Mepham and Fleetdown, which are the two schools you're most closely associated with, they're very different in the way that the curriculum's taught may be, or the parent makeup, or their location, but it is the values that bind us together.
Absolutely, yes. I know I could phone up anybody in any of the schools and I'm going to get a similar response of, yes, what do you need? How can we help you? I'll be there in 5 minutes. You know, it's not a you're on your own, phone down. And that's our values. That's, again, how we communicate, how we treat each other. And that's what's so lovely and special about working in the Trust that we are.
So what does the value then, Alice, of respect mean to you personally within your Golden Thread role?
I think, again, respect comes down to how we communicate with each other and how we talk to each other and understanding each other's roles and the pressures we're all under. And we are all under, no matter what your role is in the school, we are all under immense pressure. Trying to balance that with home lives and having a social life and whatever else people have got going on. I think if you're not treating each other with respect, it's just not sustainable, and you're not going to enjoy it, you're not going to be happy. And essentially that will trickle down to the children. Children will just see snappy, impatient staff who don't go the extra mile or enjoying it, not working with a smile on their face. And we're working with such young people. They need you to be in a safe, happy place as well. And that reflects onto the children.
And I think I see that in you a lot in terms of your calmness and your composure. And that's not always actually what's going on inside, is it?
Probably never going on inside, no. I'm always stressed. But I have to take a minute to remember what we're doing, why we're doing, and who we're working with. We're working with some very vulnerable children and young children, and they pick it up.
What about you, Charlotte? What does the value of respect mean to you in your role?
I think it's the importance of working together and having that professional dialogue. I mentioned earlier about being one big family, but actually we are a group of professionals that are working together to benefit, just like Alice says, some of the most vulnerable pupils in our society. And I think that respect enables us to have difficult conversations with each other, to hold each other to account, but always with that common moral purpose of improving the lives of some vulnerable children, but also the leaders for tomorrow, those children who are going to grow up to be those global citizens that we know will be running countries, running departments, you know, operating on us when we're in our old age. You know, we want to make sure that we've got it right for them. And it's the respect that we have for each other in our different roles which enables us to do that.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's not just about the most vulnerable in our schools, because we've got loads of those, particularly in your role as SEND lead, but it's about every child, right? And I have seen some really poor examples, not recently and not in our own schools, but lack of respect shown towards parents and carers. Can you just talk to me about that a little bit? Because I think that's really important to cover.
Yeah, I think we have to have really difficult conversations sometimes with parents and carers, and they need to feel safe in that environment as well and not feel immediately on defence or feeling attacked. There's got to be mutual trust and mutual respect. And at the end of the day, we're not here to judge, cast any other opinions, but we're just here to help and support for the best of the children. And if the parent and the carers aren't feeling that from us, then they're going to shut down. They won't open up to us. They won't welcome us in, and we won't be working together. So yeah, I always try and imagine what it's like on the other side of the table. What would it be like hearing that, what the messages that we give, and remembering they're doing their best, we're doing our best, and we have to work together.
And you're both parents, you're both mummies, and what would you expect as a parent if you were a parent of a child within Golden Thread, Charlotte?
I think I would like to believe that those people who are looking after the most precious things in my life are doing that in a way which is helping them develop, but also that my opinions would matter around my children, because whilst I don't see them for the number of hours that they tread the boards at school, I do know them very, very well. And I think it's really important that schools listen to the voice of parents. There may be tensions between those two camps at different times. However, I think as a parent, I want to know that my voice is heard. I also then as a parent have to respect that the school won't always agree with me. But as a professional, I have to respect that that parent is entitled to their views and that they do know their child. And thinking from a SEND perspective, you know, some of the children can't communicate for themselves, maybe at this time in their school career, and the people that we are heavily reliant upon to give us that voice from the child, which is so important, are their parents. So it's about listening and understanding, really.
I think sometimes I might be criticised as a trust leader for putting so much onus on the voice of the parent or how we should absolutely respect parents. But certainly from my own perspective as a parent, I have the best relationships with my children's school when I feel respected. And I think that's something for us all to learn. Can you think of a time when a member of your team has shown this value of respect, or just another scenario of how respect is seen in your work?
I can think of a time working with a colleague where they were a family liaison officer, and that's a really, really difficult role, the family liaison officer role, because you are working so intensely with parents, but also from the school perspective. And actually, the child was really struggling with coming into school. And the work that that member of staff did with parent in listening to their views, in working with them and listening to the views of the child to get that holistic picture, so that actually we could put something together by respecting and listening, we were able to gain their trust. And by doing that, we were able to get that child into school over a slower period of time up to full time. And I think that that was really down to their diligence, their hard work. But it all started from those first conversations where the door was open, the ears were open, and the mouth stayed closed while the parent was able to give us that information. And when she was giving information back to the parent, she was doing it in a sensitive and empathetic way. So I think the whole crux of that situation was very much based on respect and understanding.
Brilliant.
Yes, I've got one. I remember when we first joined the trust, and this goes back again to communication and listening to each other and everyone being there for each other. And you, Gary, said, yes, so at Easter time, we open up the doors and all the parents come in and everyone does arts and craft on the same afternoon. So everyone does arts and craft on the same afternoon.
This is one of my stupid sort of non-negotiables,
yeah,
isn't it?
And I was thinking, what, you just mean a bit of colouring? No, all the paints, all the craft comes out. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a nightmare. But again, I picked up the phone, called the other schools, how on earth does this work? What's it like? How do you organise it? And it was the most wonderful afternoon. It really was. Everyone, the laughter, the smiles, and we all really enjoyed it. And it was such a wonderful community event, and it's something we've done every year now. So I suppose I respected your experience having done this previously and what you were saying and the benefit of it. And it's something that's really a highlight in our calendar now at Fleet Down.
Yeah, I know. And people think I'm crazy. Yeah. I come up with some of these ideas and, you know, let's invite everybody in to do craft, or, you know, let's do Christingle at Christmas, whatever. But it does build those relationships with parents. I can think, and this is putting you on the spot a bit, but I want you to talk a little bit about another aspect of respect, which was when I encouraged you to really listen to a specific group of families within your school, which were your Black families, some of the children in your school felt as if they weren't being listened to, right? And what did I ask you to do? Can you remember how it went?
Yes, I remember vividly, Gary. You asked me to run a coffee evening, inviting the parents of these children into the school, just those parents, and sit and listen to them and answer any questions. So I came with my agenda and I introduced myself to the parents, introduced themselves, and it got to the point I had to close my notebook, put my agenda to the side, and I just had to listen to the experiences and the stories that these parents needed to talk to me about. And it was really difficult. I was really upset afterwards. I had to sit in the car, couldn't drive for a while because I was so upset that there were children at Fleet Down that were experiencing these things that these parents were telling me about, you know, experiencing being called, racist names, or feeling like they were being treated differently, unconscious bias. At the beginning of when they started talking, I was like, no, not a Fleet Down. No, that can't be true. But then the more I just sat back and just listened, the more I really understood. And it was really valuable, but quite daunting and a bit scary.
But what did you do as a result of that really tough exchange?
Yeah, so I wrote down the names of everybody that came. And I did make some notes. I didn't just sit there. I did make some notes. And I then went back and went through everything the next day that they had said to me and unpicked it all and kind of identified trends and things that I could address quickly, things that were longer, a bigger project, more than kind of like the culture of the school. Went and spoke to some children, so I did a little bit more kind of research into it. And then I went back to the parents, invited them all back in. Not such a big group came back in, because when I invited them, they said to me, oh, we don't feel we need to come back in anymore. So then a smaller group came back in. And then every time I did it, the group actually got smaller and smaller.
And that wasn't because they didn't think they were being listened to. That was because they were so much happier with what was happening.
Oh, we don't feel like we need to come in anymore. You know, we're fine. So then I would end up emailing to them what I was going to say to myself. I feel like I still need to tell you these things that I've done, just so you know, make myself feel better, purely selfishly.
But yeah, but, you know, what a tough thing to do, but what respect you showed to those families and to those children. And it isn't the easy stuff that is the best stuff and the most fulfilling. It is the tough stuff. And Fleetdown is a better place because of it. So moving on, because I think I could talk to you both about respect forever, but how do you think we need to further promote respect with the children? What else can we be doing and what's next?
I think I would carry on the inclusivity work that we're doing with the children and really be thinking about how we can broaden their understandings of our society and the different people who live within that society, and really think about how we need to get them to understand that there are so many different people in our world, and that the importance of respect will help them as they develop and also as they go into the worldwide society, who knows where they will be when they grow up, and the importance of respect and how that will open conversations, communities and doors for them in their education, but also in their lives as they move forward. I think that it's really, you know, Alice has got that experience with those families that she's just spoken about, and actually we can be guilty of thinking, oh no, this is the school that I work in, this is the dynamic and the demograph that we work in, and we really understand that. Well, actually,
and we're done.
Yeah,
and we know
absolutely. Right. But actually, those children, I can think of several schools where, if you didn't teach them about other cultures, other communities, they could have a very skewed perspective of what society looks like. And I think that by teaching children about those cultures and communities in a respectful way, but also teaching them to respect other people, I think that's going to help develop them as they move forward in their lives.
Brilliant. Alice? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely agree with Charlotte. And again, just modelling, communicating. So when they're in moments that are testing them, if they disagree with each other, it happens all the time on the playground, rather than them relying on an adult going to grab someone, can you help me sort this out? Eventually, by the time as the children get older, and ideally before they go to secondary school, they've got those skills and tools to be able to respectfully sort these problems out themselves without it escalating or responding in anger or, you know, anything like that.
It's lovely talking to you both. Thank you for giving up your time today. I respect both of you for the work you do and the time you've given up. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.